globalists. What a day. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com. So today, about a half hour late, Trump comes out in the Rose Garden and says, we're done. We're out. No more Paris Accord for us here in the Americas. Well, at least in the U.S. Let me tell you what this means. But I want to back away from this for 1 minute, because to get there, nobody is really looking at this and trying to explain why we have the stakeholders that we have in this equation. Because when you look at that, when you see and examine why the people that want this so bad and are now so loudly clamoring for this to be, I don't know, well, it's not going to be reinstated. It could be, I guess, if we don't get out before Trump is voted out of office, as every liberal dreams. The issue is, why are these people so keen on having it happen? You saw the list, right? You've got, what do you have? You've got Apple, Google, big companies, General Electric, Chevron. You got energy companies, right? You got, what's up with that? I mean, you're scratching your heads. You're probably wondering, well, shoot, if an oil company like Chevron wants to stay in this global warming climate change pact, must be a good thing. I mean, these are people that hawk and sell fossil fuels, right? How could they possibly want to stay in it? And the answer to this question directly points to the fraud that these agreements typically are. Well, there's a general explanation, first and foremost, that you have to understand about any regulation and big business. It is a myth. A total myth, a lie. When you hear people in the political arena talk about regulation and businesses and say that all business wants less regulation, that is absolute hocus pocus. I've worked with both big companies and I've worked in startups. I can tell you right now, regulation, government regulation, favors big business. And there's a very simple reason for this. When you're a giant company, I don't even care about giant companies. If you've got any degree of scale, then you have the resources to reach compliance, to be compliant with whatever regulation there is. And that's really the true cost of regulation to businesses. I'll be honest with you. Look at Europe. In Europe, far more difficult to operate a business than here, but businesses operate. Isn't it true? Of course it's true. But the reality of it is that these businesses operate and are able to, and must, not able to, but they must devote some significant portion of their efforts, energies, and money on making sure that those businesses are compliant with all the BS rules that they have. And the same thing is true here. I know this. I operate a business in California. We have 80-odd employees. So not a huge company, but big enough to where I've got all these different rules I need to comply. Now, in order to comply with those rules, what do I need? An HR person. I need outside counsel. I need another person to work with all the accounting regulations, keep up on sales tax issues. Trust me. Doing business, even a law firm, is tricky in California, but it's doable and it's easier for me to do it than the new guy starting out on his own, hanging up the shingle and saying, I'm going to be in business for myself. Because that guy is bound by many of the same onerous regulations that I am. And it's true if you're in a service industry, it's true if you're a manufacturer. In fact, typically the more impactful your business is, the worse these regulations get. So, big business, actually, and here's the dirty secret I got to let you in on. Big business likes regulation. It has nothing to do with the credibility of the regulation. It has everything to do, okay, everything to do with the barrier of entry being increased, being expanded, being, I don't know, being enlarged, how else to put it, for their future competitors. If I am a manufacturer of widget X, and in order to producing widget X is actually pretty easy. It's a freaking bolt. That's what we'll call it. It's a bolt. How hard is it to produce a freaking bolt? I don't know. But chances are, if you're making that bolt in California, first of all, you're stupid because it's not the state to be manufacturing anything in. But if you're making it in California because you love this place and you love spending all your money on taxes and whatnot, what are you doing? Your company has to comply with all these regulations, which is very difficult if you've got a handful of employees that work for you and go, you know, we know how to make bolts and we'd really like to be in business for ourselves. And we've saved up, you know, we've carefully saved up some amount of money and we think we can start producing these in Fred's garage over there in El Monte. I mean, that's how small businesses start. But this is the ridiculous state where if you want to sell lemonade and you're in you're in the sixth grade, the health department's going to come by and shut you down. And that's good. That's good for, I don't know, Chick-fil-A, but it's not good for the, you know, for the junior high kid who wants to sell lemonade on the corner. It is an extreme example, but it illustrates the point that I'm making. So whether the issue is climate, whether the issue is occupational health and safety, it doesn't matter. The issue itself is not the issue. And it is very disingenuous. You always have to look beyond a headline. You always have to look at stuff and think critically. It is disingenuous of Apple to sit here and lecture us about the moralities of the climate state and say that they are coming at this from a moral high ground when what they're really interested are two things. One, they want a higher barrier of entry to whatever tech company comes up as a startup to take, you know, to do whatever Apple is doing, but better, which is always the risk when you're in that type of industry. That's one issue. Because complying with the Paris Accord, that's when you're breaking down all these numbers that you've heard today about the cost to business. That's what it is. It's the cost of compliance. And a company that has, I don't know, how much does Apple have in the bank? It's like $500 billion. Whatever Apple has in the bank, it's more than you and I will ever see in our imaginations. I'll tell you that right now. So you think they can hire some compliance people to worry about some stupid deal that Obama signed back in 2012? Of course, yeah. 2015, whenever it was. Of course, easy. Is it harder for a startup to do? Absolutely. And the other big issue where I'm hearing today, oh, look, Elon Musk, he dropped out. He bailed on the president's castle. Even Elon Musk has turned his back on the Trumpster. And this is supposed to be somehow this giant rebuke. I'm supposed to take that. I am supposed to. What am I supposed to do with that? Let me tell you this. To the second part of this, why all these companies are signing on to it. Look at Tesla. Tesla, I think for the last, it was the last quarter of last year that they finally turned a profit. Now, I'm not knocking Tesla, although I'm not an electric car kind of guy, honestly. But okay, cool deal. I get the car. I get the whole thing. I get the idea behind it. Let me ask you something. 13 quarters in a row, would you be surprised if you knew that Tesla didn't turn a profit? Maybe. Okay, it's a startup company. I get it. Do you know why they turned that profit the last quarter of last year? Do you know what it was? They were selling, they're in the business of selling their stupid carbon credits. Every car company gets them. They trade them around. So they're selling their carbon credits to companies like Chevy, who's making pickup trucks, cars that real men want, okay? No, I don't drive a pickup truck. I like cars, but that's a whole separate conversation. That's a Friday show. We ought to do a show sometime just about cars. Maybe even some of you liberals would like to hear what I have to say about cars. You might even like me a little more. I don't know. Or not. But Tesla's not on my list. But long story short. Cars that real men want. Yes, that's where we were. Trucks. Yeah, so Chevy builds a truck that's a, you know, horrible polluting beast. So for every, you know, every pollution beast that Ford or Chevy puts on the road, they have to buy penance from the government. They do it with these carbon credits. Did anybody read Chaucer, The Pardoner's Tale? You know that story? I mean, you understand intelligent people were lampooning this kind of BS hundreds of years ago. In Chaucer's Pardoner's Tale, you had this guy selling indulgences on behalf of the Catholic Church. It'd be kind of cool. I don't know. Hillary was selling these a little. You could consider it that way. You know, she was selling access through the Clinton Foundation. I digress. But the story, the indulgences, where you could commit a sin, but then, well, first you bought the indulgence. I think that's the way. You went to the pardoner, and he, on behalf of the church, would sell you a free pass to do something naughty. Like having two milkshakes instead of one. I don't know. You can use your imagination. I'm not going to get into telling you what I consider to be naughty. But that's the idea, right? That's the idea of carbon credits. Chevrolet goes to Tesla and says, "Can we buy some of your indulgences? You know, please." And Musk is like the big pimp daddy, you know, selling them behind. Hey, how much you want? How much you want for that? You know, here you go. So spare me your fake outrage. Your company is making money off of this scheme. Environmentalism is good business for many of these companies. And yes, I'll tell you, I'll get into that. It, even in banking, look at banking. Whenever regulation comes around that says something like this, like environmentalism, like what was this deal all about? It's about reaching some totally unattainable target, but that's a separate issue. Attaining a target of reducing emissions by 24% by the year 2525. It's like that Zager and Evans song. In the year 2525. Yeah, anyway, you know it. So by that year, we're going to drop 27, 28%, whatever it was. And now industry, all businesses in America have to adjust and scramble. And who's going to be making money under this scheme? It's companies, whole industries sprout up that build something or create something that will help companies at least fake it that they've hit that level. I don't know. I get different opinions from different people about solar panels. Some people swear by them. But would people actually get solar panels on their roof if it didn't come with the tax credit? If it's really helping you save money on energy, why does the tax credit matter? This is where you have regulation-driven malinvestment. I mean, that's what it is. The regulation creates the industry. You can get a bigger loan if you're, and I know this, again, this is from my life, my other life, what I do during the day. If you want a bigger loan from the Small Business Administration, an SBA loan, it's simple. There's some green program in it. It's part of this deal. And the green program is, you can basically get more cash if you agree to put solar panels and do some other crap to your building that you're buying. It's a scam. Everybody knows it's a scam. The bank tells you they don't say it's a scam, but they say, yeah, well, listen, there's this green investment program. And then everybody in the room rolls their eyes, acknowledges that it's total fantasy land. But now there's been an entire industry created to not do anything real with the environment, but to simply cater to the regulation. That's messed up. And by the way, even if we were fully compliant with this deal, 100% compliant, MIT did a study, you know, MIT, right? They did a study that by the year 2100, we'd only be down 0.2 degrees. This is such a load of crap. All right, back after this with more. Talk to you then.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation back. Talking about the Paris Climate Accord. Obama signed it back in 2015, I believe December of 2015. And it was never, one thing interesting about it was never ratified by the Senate, which typically these treaties have to be voted in by 2/3 of the Senate. So there's also some talk and concern that the treaty itself was not binding. And that may be one way that we're able to get out of it. Trump may just send it out up to the Senate and ask them to ratify, and he's not going to get 2/3 of the votes, and it would be, you know, dead on arrival there. But look, the whole setup here, what this thing was all about, all the countries, all the signatories made voluntary pledges to reduce their emissions. Voluntary pledges. Which means different countries made different promises. Make sense? Now, if you are a country in competition with the U.S. economy, I mean, hell, if you're in competition with any other economies, are you going to be as dumb as Obama was and saw your legs off at the knees by putting a figure up there and pledging to a figure or pledging to a particular scheme or set of regulations, such as shutting down coal plants like we did? Are you going to do that if you know it's going to make you less competitive? And the answer is plain and simple, no, which is why China and India, the two biggest, most, ginormous polluters in the world, they specifically made pledges that were significantly lower than ours. I don't get it. I absolutely don't understand. Even Europe, by the way, Europe allowed themselves the option to build more coal plants. And the backstory there, by the way, is that European politics, it's too long to explain fully, but European politics, the way are mostly parliamentary systems, you never get a clear majority because you've got 200 parties. So you have these blocks, these ruling blocks that are formed with other opposition parties and groups. And one of those parties is the Green Party. It's true in Germany. It's true other places. And the Green Party's big mission, right? They're all environmentalists, but their big mission is shutting down nuclear power plants in Europe. This is really important. So you get a moderate government who's maybe fairly normal, but they have to cater. They've got to keep their coalition partner in the game. So one of the things that is happening right now all over Europe is they've got great big nuclear power plants. They're providing an enormous amount of clean energy, but they're being shut down. I just read about it. Switzerland is shutting theirs down or committed to shut theirs down. Austria shut theirs down. And so Europe they have to figure out how to replace that electricity, and they have to do it how? It's not coming from windmills, okay? So they have to build coal plants. So they reserved a right for themselves to do this. And by the way, in the last 2 years that this plan was effect, Germany, Angela Merkel and her perma-frown, she hates us, right? I mean, this is it. This is the day that America has turned its back on the world. Germany has seen two straight years of emissions increases since this deal went in effect, right? And they're the leaders. They're the ones that have been banging on about how awful we are and how we really need to stay in this deal. Remember, Merkel was the one who was practically, you know, in tears. She looks like Grumpy Cat, in case you're wondering. You want to pick the one out there in the group photo from the G7 summit. Yeah. 2 straight years of increases, emissions increases for Germany. And these are the same people telling us what to do with NATO when they're only paying 1.2% of their GDP and covenanted, promised to pay north of 2%. This is exactly what we're dealing with. So it was a voluntary, by the way, a voluntary, you know, scheme. And we were going to hold up our end of the bargain. And what if China didn't even, the very low bar that China set for itself, what if they didn't meet it? There was no mechanism by which we could compel China to do what they promised to do. None. Think about that. Not a good situation for us. All right, I've got more on this when we come back, but now we first have John Wolf with the news.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Live from Orange County, from the Sweet James Studios. Having lots and lots of fun here. Talking about the Paris Climate Accord, Trump pulled out today. I was watching the announcement roll out on Fox News. The press conference was scheduled for about noon our time, 3 o'clock Eastern. And Trump was late. It's pretty normal. Apparently, 15 minutes to 20 minutes late is typical for the Trump White House. Likes to keep people waiting, build the anticipation. But the best part was Shep Smith and Chris Wallace, the Fox News libs, talking about this. Now, at that point, it had already been confirmed that Trump was going to be pulling out of the deal. Yeah. And he apparently, so now the word was out, he had to let Congress know, so he had already sent some memos out to that effect. And it was fascinating to me. I was watching Shep and Chris Wallace talking about it, and they are just, both of them, absolutely accepting the science behind climate change. And where do I stand on this? I don't think science has everything figured out yet. There are two major issues here. Is it man-made? Is there climate change, first of all? And is it man-made? Now, I know for a fact, in looking at history of this, temperatures have been rising and falling on this Earth centuries with no input from man or even from farting cows. You know, I'm a violinist. I don't know if you know this about me. I grew up playing the violin and may have actually been fairly good at one point in time. And you know, the most famous violin is called the Stradivarius, right? But part of what makes it famous is not the master that made it necessarily, but also a certain type of wood that was used in that instrument. And it's wood that came from a certain period in history in a certain place in Italy. And it's all about the tree rings, right? The different separations between the rings and the wood. And they're closer together on the Strad. And it came from an intense period of what? Of cooling. Followed by an intense period of warming. Excuse me. Now, this had, of course, happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. This has nothing to do with factories, with cars. I mean, they did have flatulent cows back then. You know what I'm talking about, by the way? There's a real concern that you and I, eating our fillet of beef, eating steaks at Ruth's Chris and other fine establishments, is actually contributing to global warming, because now they have to have all these cows, and these cows are out there and they have their own emissions, right? Cow emissions. So you're supposed to worry about your car. You're supposed to worry about your cow. I don't know if we're supposed to worry about human emissions, but perhaps all part of the problem. I think there's a lot we don't know, and I think it's tremendously arrogant of mankind right now to assume that we have such a vast impact on the environment. Yeah, one solar flare up there from the sun, and bam, temperatures go up. It's something we don't control. Now, I realize people want to control everything, especially liberals. And that's what I think this whole climate thing is about. I think it's about controlling our behavior and being able to dictate what we do in the privacy of our own homes for the betterment of mankind. And by the way, you know where I think global warming comes from? You know the global, you know the man-made global warming that I am concerned with? North Korea with a nuclear bomb. That, I think, is a real cause for concern. But don't worry. Obama, he gave nuclear, all but gave nuclear weapons to North Korea and Iran and God knows who else. All the while being very concerned about cow flatulence. Crazy world we live in. All right, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Did you see this crash, this Tesla crash? Some guy had it on autopilot. I know I was just ragging on Teslas, but this is real stuff. It's just happened. Guy had it on autopilot, and the lanes in front of him suddenly, there was some construction. They had set up a barrier, you know, where they narrow two lanes into one. Well, the car didn't see it, and the rest is history. And it was all captured on camera by the car driving directly behind it. There was a lot of smoke, a lot of debris flying. Fortunately, no one was killed. The driver in the Tesla got out with a few injuries. Now, imagine if he'd hit somebody. Who do you go after? You go after Tesla? You go after the guy who should have had his hands on the steering wheel? Do you go after, I don't know, government for selling Tesla these stupid climate credits? Here's the answer. All of the above. You look at all your options, especially if you're really hurt. And you need a smart lawyer that can decipher all of that, that can go through all the issues and look for people who can pay you. That's what this is all about. I hate to be crass. If you're hurt, if your life has been changed, you need to be compensated. And there's nothing embarrassing or improper about you doing that. So the person you need to call, it's really simple. His name is Sweet James Bergener. He's the lawyer we trust here on this program, and he'll help you no matter how complex or how simple the cases that you've got in front of you. You got to get the right help. And you want that person to be professional, to be honest, to be creative, to be able to take care of it for you pronto. All right, give them a call, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. You know, part of this Paris climate deal, Sam Rojofsky here, by the way, in case you're wondering who this freak on the radio is. The Paris climate deal, you know, part of it is renewable energy. So renewable energy, what is that? Well, it can be anything, really, but it could be wood, right? So do you know what England does to meet its quota as part of this deal? This is documented. The BBC, I have 10 articles here up on my browser about it. BBC, Forbes, Daily Mail. The UK is spending billions shipping wood from the United States. Putting it on, yeah, they're cutting down logs in the U.S. They're putting them on ships. Those ships are burning diesel fuel. I just want to point that out, okay? And they're crossing the Atlantic, going over to England. They're unloading the logs. They're turning them into chips. By the way, that's, again, I'm the chopper that's chopping the chips up is burning diesel fuel. And then they're burning that stuff. They're burning chips. And that's creating emissions in the air. You liberals that believe in this nonsense are so stupid. I don't know what else to tell you. This makes zero sense. None. Zip whatsoever. But you know what? It makes you feel good because you see that it's renewable energy. You think, I'm making a difference. That's what this is. The left is a political movement of feel good. And by the way, I know some of you might be wondering about this. You go, but Sam, Obama's not a bad guy. I mean, Barry was a cool dude. You know, he had some cracks. He was great on the late night shows and he spoke in very stirring ways. You know, he wasn't here to try to hobble us. This was an earnest effort to do the right thing. And I'm sorry. And this is where I lose you as well. So let me tell you my thoughts on it. I'm looking at all this and I'm getting my head into the numbers and looking at what this deal was really all about. And you've got to remember, Obama's worldview was that America was too big for its britches. That America needed to be cut down in size. We were the imperialists. We were the people that wherever we went, I mean, we just wrecked stuff, right? White privilege. I mean, really, that's part of the whole argument. And that we needed to do penance for our past sins. And that penance is what this deal was all about. That's why the deal was screwing us and benefiting everybody else. But we had to be punished for being bad boys back in the day. All right, back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Yeah, the Democrats are at it again. And, good, too much music. Wow, overwhelming me. All right, so I'll do this again. Democrats are at it again. They've got another internal poll that has their party. This is the headline from the Washington Post. Party has a shot in sleepy South Carolina race. And then it talks about another congressional district election, special election that apparently, according to their own polling, Democrats might just win. See what's going on? So much hope and then very little change. Now, speaking of climate change, this is what makes the hypocrisy of the deal so absurd, of the situation so absurd, that it actually hurts me. You know, remember when Hillary Clinton's emails, some of them were hacked, were released. And so the media began pouring through them, and some of them were really just boring. They had to do with, you know, what kind of wine she was going to be drinking and who she was going to be meeting with. But some of them were quite funny and interesting. Now, you know, Hillary Clinton, big proponent of climate change. You know, if she'd been president, she would have kept us in this deal. Right? I mean, that's what you're hearing everywhere. I mean, if only Hillary had won, we would not have abdicated our position as world leaders. So here's an exchange between Hillary Rodham Clinton and one Huma Abedin. And it was about her doing a speaking engagement. This is all the way back in 2011. So this would be during Obama's first term in office. And she was supposed to speak somewhere, and she writes, and now, I guess, the way the backstory here is that Michelle Obama was supposed to go to the speech as well and speak there as well, whatever the event was. And I don't know if you know this about Hillary. I mean, she and Michelle did not get along. It's not a secret. They didn't like each other. So here is what Hillary writes to Huma. This is not, there's no secretary involved, nothing. This is a direct email from the Wicked Witch herself. Listen to this. It's just one quick line. I'd be honored to speak. Is it okay that we and Mrs. O take two separate planes? So, leader, you're, if you know, you voted for her. If you liked Hillary and you think that she would be saving the planet right now, this is the lady that had a take that won it. And by the way, Huma then writes back, yeah, no problem. Yeah, I think she's taking her own plane. And then Hillary writes back, I would rather have our own, of course. She doesn't like somebody enough. By the way, the wife of her boss, right? She's Secretary of State. She wants two separate private jets to fly them to the same event. They're both leaving Washington, traveling to the same place, and they can't even carpool on a private jet. But these are the same people that want to tell me how big my filet mignon needs to be. I don't know. They want me to smog the cow that is going to be sacrificed so I can have a delicious steak dinner. What kind of a upside down world do I live in? This is why you listen to this program, because this kind of nonsense and insanity, the type of drivel out there lamenting the loss of the Paris Climate Accord, and you've been listening to it all day, total nonsense. Hypocrites of the left. All right. No hypocrisy here. We got the news up next from John Wolf, and then I'm back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Talk to you then.
Talk radio. 790. KABC.